Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. It is week six. We are here to answer all of your trades questions, your start sit questions. But more importantly, we're here to break down every single matchup on the week six slate from a DFS, from a dynasty, from a redraft perspective. We got everything you could ever want covered right here, right now. Tom, we're going to start off with a fairly juicy matchup. We got the Cincinnati Bengals, who is Joe Burrow back healthy? Is this offense going to start firing? And then the Seattle Seahawks, who, let's be honest, are just fun for fantasy. Is there anyone that you're particularly targeting this week?
So I think the big question here is, what does it look like for Seattle coming out of the bye? We see time and time again every year that rookies tend to get bigger roles on the other side of a bye. Now, Seattle have had a very early bye with the bye week last week. But do we start seeing slightly more Jackson Smith and Jigba? Do they change the type of formations they're running? Do we see Zach Charbonnet getting slightly more work? You know, we saw Charbonnet have occasional points where he seemed to be creeping up in workload, but then Kenneth Walker's been playing so well that it hasn't really come to fruition just yet. Jackson Smith and Jigba, you can see it on the screen there. The average depth of target, 3.3, is horrifically low. We need that to be way up to be really fantasy relevant. So definitely interested in those two on the Seahawks side. On the Bengals side, yeah, I mean, is Joe Burrow all the way back? His air yards per attempt jumped from 4.5 last week up to over 7, which was much more encouraging. You know, Ja'Marr Chase has proven that he can eat if Joe Burrow is able to just hold the plays slightly longer and be able to navigate the pocket a little bit better and be able to force the ball to him, not just near the line of scrimmage, but just slightly further away as well. Joe Mixon, I think you could definitely start him this week with fairly good confidence. I mean, he's at zero top 10 finishes so far, but he's averaging 19.4 touches per game, which is almost identical to last year. He has 100% of the Bengals carries inside the red zone. He has yet to turn any of them into touchdowns, but variance will fall right for him at some point, and I imagine that one of those is going to turn into a touchdown. So yeah, generally this is probably one of the most interesting matchups of the week. I think you can stack it from a variety of angles. I think you can look at possibly throwing Jackson Smith and Jigba into those Bengals stacks because the Bengals struggle against slot wide receivers so far, and that is an area where he could, you know, coming out of a bye, have a bigger role. So yeah, I think really, there are no wrong answers with this one, apart from just don't play Irv Smith ever.
I think there's 2 points that I'm fascinated by on this week. The first one, they're both on the Seahawks side. Zach Charbonnet, we've seen 13% opportunity share, 23%, 31%, 31%. We've now had the bye. Are we going to see that post-rookie bye leap for Charbonnet? Who, yeah, Kenneth Walker's been phenomenal. But they've drafted Charbonnet for a reason. He has started eating into that workload. And if this is going to be more of a 50-50 backfield moving forward, that's going to have huge implications for Walker, who's been, you know, a top eight running back so far this season. If Charbonnet is going to eat into that, that could cost him production value massively. And then the other one, again, another rookie, as you said, JSN, it's a great matchup for him. The Bengals are not good against slot receivers. The track record of first round pick wide receivers I tweeted out today that don't produce in their first 5 games is absolutely abysmal. It's literally a list of bust after bust after bust. All the high drafted busts that we've seen over the last few years. John Ross, Cordarrelle Patterson, Nelson Aguilar, you know, it goes on and on. At the moment, JSN and Quinton Johnson are both sat in that list. If JSN doesn't start doing something soon, I'm seriously concerned that it could be curtains for his value from a dynasty perspective moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of got to start happening soon and very soon, really. If he's unable to, coming off a bye week where the Seahawks have had more time to think about it, if he's unable to make more of an impression then without an injury to DK or Tyler Lockett, I think it's fair to shelve expectations this year.
Yeah, and if people are saying, well, he's got two good wide receivers, like, if he's good enough and if he's talented enough, he'd command targets. And, you know, he's going to need an awful lot of targets if that A-dot of 3.3 continues, because it's certainly not much value in that sort of depth of target. the London game, Baltimore at Tennessee, two very, very different approaches to travel schedules, shall we say, Tom. Is there anyone off the back of that you think could be interesting this week?
So there's a bit of mixed data on this. We've seen teams that arrive late in the week who've won games. We've seen teams who arrive early in the week get blown out. I think there's still a fair amount of randomness to this. But so when the Ravens last played over here, it was six years ago, and they lost to the Jags 42-6 or something ridiculous like that. And Joe Flacco had like 20 passing yards in the first half. It was atrocious. They rocked up on the Thursday. They decided that the thing they were going to do was to stay on Eastern time for the whole time. And in hindsight, John Harbaugh's talked this week about how it wasn't a good approach. Players didn't feel great. They didn't sleep well. And it was tricky. The Titans have taken that to a whole other level by traveling tonight on Thursday. They'll arrive into London in the morning on Friday morning and then practice a few hours later. And I can't see how that's not going to mess with the players, you know, even if they're planning on only doing a walkthrough. If you say that for the last few days they've done practice on Tuesday rather than Wednesday and they've moved everything up a schedule, up a day, then okay, maybe it works out for them. I mean, the Titans and the Ravens, they've had some incredibly fun and crazy matchups over the last few years. The last time these two teams met in the playoffs, Lamar Jackson had a huge long rushing touchdown that really changed how a lot of people thought about Lamar in the playoffs. It'll be interesting because up until last week, we were thinking that this Tennessee defense was fantastic against the run. You know, they were clamping down on everyone who played them, Josh Kelly, Jerome Ford, all these kind of matchups where it was like, oh, well, we should be starting this player because they're going to get loads of opportunity. But then last week, Zach Moss goes out and averages 7.2 yards per carry, when before that, the Titans had only given up 3.1 yards per carry. So perhaps they're not quite as strong against the run as we thought they might have been. I think on the Ravens side of things, look, these receivers have to bounce back. Seven drops in a game, including Mark Andrews, who dropped a touchdown, as well as Bateman, as well as Aguilar, as well as Zay Flowers. It's unacceptable to drop that many passes that were in the basket. They should not be dropping those balls. And this Tennessee defense, they're not good against the pass particularly. They allow the fourth highest catch rate to opposing tight ends at 80%. I think what we see is a bounce back in general, with Tennessee allowing the fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers. There's a good chance that Rashad Bateman would match up with Christian Fulton, who's been giving up 15.1 yards per target. It kind of depends on how much John Harbaugh wants to put Rashad Bateman out there after last week, or whether they lean into Nelson Aguilar. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for a fun game. I think on the Titans side of it, we've seen Treylon Burks isn't making the trip. And I mean, you talked about wide receivers not making an impact before. We were talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba. We're now into the second season with Treylon Burks, and he's still struggling to make any kind of impact. DeAndre Hopkins probably gets there on volume alone. I'm looking forward to seeing if him and Marlon Humphrey match up one-on-one. But then a big part of it will be, what is the Tajay Spears usage? Last week, he had 32 snaps and Derrick Henry's 37. Henry out-touched him 16-12. But that was kind of like, in these closer games, we're seeing that Tajay Spears is playing a lot. So it will be interesting. Spears is only one of three running backs who's had at least four targets in each game this year. So, yeah, I think there's plenty to be interesting. I'm not sure if it's going to be the best game, but as long as my Ravens don't get embarrassed like last time I saw them play the Jags, I'll be happy.
Yeah, it feels to me like a Tajay Spears week. And I think that the Ravens, we've seen Derrick Henry against the Ravens, and it seems to be that they do a better job of crowding the line of scrimmage. And he is a running back that needs that bit of kind of space to get up to full speed. And, you know, if you can stop him at the line of scrimmage, nothing tends to happen. He's not a guy that breaks a huge amount of tackles at the line of scrimmage. Most of his broken tackles are once he's kind of got up to speed. So I think that because of that, it's probably going to lean towards the Tajay Spears week. But you know, if you're rostering Derrick Henry, he's still probably a top 16 running back for me this week. So you've still kind of got to plug him into your lineup. I think that Lamar is due a massive breakout game. I think that you saw last week. Last week was one of the most impressive performances I'd seen from Lamar. And yet they only put up, I can't remember how many points, but like 10 points, 13 points, whatever it was. It was pathetic because he was being consistently let down all across the field. I think that hopefully we get some more consistent receiver play. And I think that if he's going to carry on playing the way he has done the last couple of weeks, at some point he's just going to completely explode for a massive fantasy day.
Yeah, and it was just one last point I'll just mention, that we talked about Zay Flowers' ADOT being really low and him being an extension of running game, and it was encouraging to see last week with more wide receivers out there that they pushed him further downfield, and over the last couple of weeks he's been playing not just close to the line of scrimmage, but further downfield too, and I think that can really unlock his fantasy ceiling if we see more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got some questions in the chat. If you are watching live and you want your start sit questions, your trade questions, get them in below. First one from Adil Tom. He says, with Gibbs questionable, should I play Javonte tonight? The other options are Cam Akers, Donta Foreman. For me, I'd be starting Javonte there. I don't have any confidence that Gibbs is going to go. So I think you kind of got to plug in Javonte.
Yeah, I don't love it. I think it's a tricky situation. I'd be trying to pick up Donta Foreman as well. In terms of the Chiefs, they've been fairly decent against the pass, but they've allowed 4.5 yards per carry to running backs, which is the eighth most. So I think you can probably start him with some degree of confidence if you feel like you need to. But I'd be also trying to find a way to pick up Foreman, because I think we're going to get several usable weeks out of him.
Yeah, and Chosen Rosen says, hey, so I have a trade. Mahomes, Eckler, Kamara, Marquise Brown, Kirk, DJ Moore, and Brian Robinson. I was thinking of a trade with someone, Christian Kirk and Brian Robinson for AJ Brown.
Trade someone with Christian Kirk and Brian Robinson for AJ Brown.
I think that's a smash, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. If you can turn those two into AJ Brown, yeah. I mean, Latavius Murray's a throw-in piece there, but what AJ Brown gives you there is absolutely worth making that trade every day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Latavius Murray's droppable at this point, but yeah, AJ Brown upgrade over Christian Kirk. I'm happy paying Brian Robinson prices for that. And then next question from Pat, one of our members. He says, Ford or Godwin this week? Where are you going?
Oof, I mean, that's tricky. I mean, we'll get to Godwin a little bit later and his disappointing start. But equally, Ford has got an incredibly tricky matchup against the Niners. I think maybe I'd just side towards Godwin because I think I like that matchup slightly more. And I don't quite know what the health status is of Mike Evans this week. But yeah, how about you?
Yeah, so Mike Evans has just got a limited practice in. I think at the moment I'd go Godwin, but if Mike Evans is fully healthy, practices is full tomorrow, I think maybe I'd lean Ford. But as it speaks with Godwin, Mike Evans potentially not playing, I'd definitely go Godwin. And then Logan Thomas or Evan Ingram?
I'm not overly high on Evan Ingram this week. I think that that's pretty close, but I'd probably start Evan Ingram.
Yeah, maybe we disagree slightly. I'm high on basically all the Jags this week, it feels. Evan Ingram's the top three tight end for me this week, so I'd definitely be going Evan Ingram here. So the next matchup, Tom. Minnesota at Chicago. Huge injury news for Minnesota last week. Obviously, Justin Jefferson now on IR, going to miss at least four games. Do you think this is good news for Jordan Addison in that he's going to see some more targets? He's going to be the number one potentially target hog in that offense? Or is it going to be bad news because we know that he's a smaller receiver? We know that he, you know, struggles against that aggressive press man coverage. And is he now going to see more of that without Justin Jefferson taking coverage away on the other side?
There's definitely going to be games where that is a factor and that he's going to have to deal with cornerbacks. I mean, like, when the Vikings drafted him, the GM came out afterwards and said he is going to have the most favorable matchups of any wide receiver in the league because people have to dedicate so much coverage to Justin Jefferson. And that simply isn't going to be the case now and might not be the case for the rest of the season. But what we talked about in the offseason, you know, he was your rookie wide receiver one after the draft, wasn't he? And, like, we talked about the fact that he can get there in a number of ways. And this Vikings team, they're very pass heavy. They lean into the pass at a very high rate. And I think that's going to be fine. I think the Vikings running game leaves a lot to be desired. I don't have much love for Cam Akers. I don't think Alexander Mattison has done a good job. The Vikings lead the league in fumbles with 8 through 5 games. So they've given the ball away there, which seems to be pushing them further towards the pass. So yeah, I think there will be weeks where Jordan Addison looks like a rookie and is taken out of games. But I also think there'll be weeks where he absolutely blows up. Going into last week's game, we talked about how the splits were really favorable for Jordan Addison when the Vikings were losing. And then we saw a game against the Chiefs where it was close, or they were kind of tied or within one score for much of a game. And even up to the point where Justin Jefferson went out, it was Jordan Addison's like biggest game. So yeah, I think Jordan Addison is an easy start. What I'm kind of interested in is what this does for the Vikings offense schematically. Are we going to see them lean into more two tight end sets and get Josh Oliver out there as the blocking tight end even more? TJ Hockenson, move him around a little bit? Or is this, is it going to be KJ Osborne and Jordan Addison really having to go out there and win every week? Because I'm not sure that's necessarily going to be the secret sauce. But against this Bears team, absolutely. I mean, you can start practically anyone against the Bears. Sorry. In terms of the Bears players, the main point of interest for me is what happens at running back. I think Donta Foreman will definitely be active this week. Roshan Johnson's still in the concussion protocol. The only player that we've seen clear concussion protocol within the space of a week was Luke Musgrave, who actually had a Thursday to Monday to clear. So I don't think we'll see Roshan Johnson. So Donta Foreman could have a big role. But what we've kind of seen from the Bears in the past when it was David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, was they use kind of two drives for the running back one and then one for the running back two and alternate like that. So even if Roshan Johnson's healthy, are we going to see him be particularly fantasy viable? I'm a little bit concerned we won't. And then just Justin Fields, I just want a complete game. We got a complete fantasy game last week, but he only completed 51% of his passes. Like, that's dreadful. So just if we can see more confidence from him, you know, he's a back-to-back top 4 quarterback finishes in fantasy. So that's fantastic. But let's just see a little more complete, you know, overall game from him as a quarterback.
Yeah, I know that Justin Fields has had a, you know, competent, shall we say, back-to-back weeks, but I'm still not convinced on him long-term. I don't see him doing enough under center with, you know, in the pocket to be able to be a franchise quarterback moving forward. On the kind of tight end usage, I think that's you've summed it up perfectly. I think that Josh, sounds ridiculous, Josh Oliver is going to replace Justin Jefferson. I don't think they've got another X receiver. And I think that when they're, you know, you talk about the X ISO where you've got the three receivers to one side and X on the backside so that he's got one-on-one matchups, or you're shading a safety over the top, they've not got another player that can do that. And I think the only player who could potentially do that is going to be TJ Hockenson. So I think that, you know, I sent out a tweet today, TJ Hockenson is one of the few tight ends that's actually lining up in line over 50% of the time. I think that Josh Oliver is going to come in. We're going to see two tight end sets, and it's going to mean that TJ Hockenson gets freed up and can play outside, you know, in the slot out wide more to hopefully still put Jordan Addison in those advantageous lineups. And I'm really excited because hopefully this means that Jordan Addison's going to go from a 60-70% snap share guy to a guy that isn't playing behind KJ Osborne and can hopefully be 90%+ snap share. And, you know, even if he keeps the same target volumes efficiency that he's seen so far and you project him into that extra 20-30% of snaps, I think it's a big boost for his value. So, yeah, I'm really excited about what Jordan Addison could be going forward. We've got a couple more questions in the chat, Tom. So do I trade Mixon and CeeDee Lamb for Kamara and McLaurin? What are your thoughts?
Mixon and CeeDee for Kamara and McLaurin. If I was getting Mixon and CeeDee, I'd be happy with that. I don't feel particularly good about Terry McLaurin, and Kamara's usage has been great, but I wouldn't give up CeeDee Lamb
to get absolutely. That. Yeah. That's an easy no for me. I think Kamara and Mixon, to me, pretty much neck and neck. But CeeDee Lamb's a much bigger upgrade over Terry McLaurin. So yeah, I'd much prefer the CeeDee side to that. Shock, me picking CeeDee Lamb. But should I trade Chase and Pittman for Lamb and Bijan? full PPR. Now, this is an interesting one, Tom. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we kind of the rug pulled on us with Bijan last week after it looked like Algier had been sent to the Shadow Realm. But honestly, I like both of them. If you need a running back, I would do that. If you don't need a running back, I'd probably be okay with it. I mean, Pittman in games with Gardner Minshew averaged over 30% target share so far this season, so I think he's fine. But I like both sides of that.
Yeah, I think I'd lean Lamb and Bijan. Just I think the gap between Lamb and Pittman is bigger for me than the gap between Chase and Bijan. But really, really nice trade. Quite like that. And then final one from another of our YouTube members. And hey, if you're here and you want to be a YouTube member, you get so much more exclusive content. Hit that little join button just below at the bottom of the screen, and you can become a member from as little as 99p a month. So Rory asks, who am I starting this week? Addison, Lockett or Myers, Tom?
I think I'd probably lean towards Lockett as the first one of those. I'm assuming this is full PPR. I'd go Lockett and Addison almost identical, right in that sort of wide receiver, two fringe, like, you know, 25th to sort of 26th wide receiver overall, I'd guess. And then Myers for me, I just don't enjoy that game environment, and we'll get to it in a bit, but that game feels like it's not going to be particularly fantasy friendly.
Yeah, so it's Addison for me. I think I quite like this matchup, and I think there's going to be some decent volume coming his way. This could be a really grim matchup for fantasy, let's be brutally honest. This is two of the best defenses in the league, which probably is going to mean not many points scored. So San Francisco at Cleveland. Is there anyone you can start comfortably this week, Tom?
In terms of the Cleveland side, no. I mean, you know, the Amari Cooper home road splits continue to be very favorable to games in Cleveland. But Deshaun Watson's not practicing. This is despite Kevin Stefanski saying that he was medically cleared to play in week four against the Ravens. But Watson said that he didn't feel comfortable playing due to the shoulder contusion that he's dealing with. So now, after a bye week, he's still not practicing. The vibes around Cleveland are not good. Fans, apparently this is the turning point for them, that this is a bad point for Deshaun Watson. But yeah, I mean, David Njoku hasn't been practicing. We saw the horrific burns that he suffered to his face a couple of weeks ago. It was incredibly impressive that he even played that game. But his usage this year has been terrible at the best of times. And now if you're talking about putting PJ Walker in there, against this Niners defense, who are just incredibly good at rushing the pass, I really don't want to start anyone. I don't think you could start Ford if, you know, PJ Walker's in there, because it'll just be incredibly obvious what the Browns are going to do. On the Niners side of things, I mean, you just start everyone. Kittle, you can see it there on screen. Such a good fact, we had to write it twice. Two top 24 weeks. But, you know, Kittle always has the potential, like last week, to go absolutely off and give you ceiling outcomes. Ayuk looks to be having a true breakout season. Debo hasn't really gotten going between the injuries and stuff. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see a healthier him more involved. But yeah, this game, it's not going to be fun for the Browns.
Yeah, I think it's one where you've almost got to hold your nose and start your 49ers. But it could be an ugly performance. It could be an ugly week. I mean, the question I've got, I guess, from dynasty perspective, Brock Purdy, long term, he's been fantastic. You know, through the first quarterback ever to win five games, both first and second season to start. He's looked like he's added something to the Shanahan offense that plenty of other quarterbacks haven't. But he is still a seventh round pick. He's cheap for the next 3 years, well, 2.5 years. Is he someone that you think, Tom, we can invest in dynasty, or is he a bad two-game stretch from having the rug pulled out from under him?
So Brock Purdy's gotten very lucky with interceptions and turning over the ball. His dangerous throw rate is very similar to Jordan Love and some of the other quarterbacks who've lived dangerously this year. But the variance has kind of fallen right for him, and so far he's been very lucky with it. At some point, that is going to catch up to him. But I think what Brock Purdy does well enough, it's going to prolong his career, is, unlike Jimmy G, he's able to create a little bit more outside of structure. He's able to, you know, freelance to a higher degree than Jimmy G was ever able to. And whilst I don't think Brock Purdy's going to keep the ball safe forever, I think there's just a big gulf between how Jimmy G could absolutely lose you a game, whereas Brock Purdy might just not win you a game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I'm not ready to say that Brock Purdy is a top 12 dynasty quarterback and someone that I'm fully comfortable investing in, but he's definitely a guy that I'm, you know, I keep raising. It's, it feels like every week. I think he's my QB 14 right now, and he's a guy that I'd potentially pay two late firsts for. Like, he's a serious dynasty asset and someone that I'm getting close to, you know, wholeheartedly feeling comfortable endorsing him moving forward. But the next matchup, we've got an AFC South matchup, Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Jacksonville coming back from 2 weeks over in London. Do we see some jet lag? Do we see it start to affect their performance this week?
I guess it'll be interesting. I mean, I always find it harder traveling from America back to England rather than the other way around. So it'd be interesting. I mean, they got back, well, I'm assuming they traveled back Sunday night, and so they've probably been back for a good week by now and should probably be okay. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the most surprising thing. I think this is our first divisional rematch. They played in week one. But the difference now is that Anthony Richardson won't be out there. So does this change the matchup with Gardner Minshew in there? I mean, I've never been the biggest Minshew fan. I think, you know, he's half man, half meme at times. And I think I never really get swept up in him being the internet sensation he is. But what he did with the Colts against the Ravens was undeniable. I think when he stepped in at every point for Anthony Richardson, he has been really good. And you look at what the wide receivers did in the games with Gardner Minshew. Michael Pittman had a 30% target share. Josh Downs had a 25% target share. Josh Downs at 4.1K on DraftKings this week. Very, very startable. I think that is a player I'll be putting into a lot of lineups this week. I think Travis Etienne is an auto start of the minute. He seems to have taken work away from Tank Bigsby, who's looked quite disappointing. We both liked him coming into the season, thought that he could get the high-value touches and make Travis Etienne's life a little bit miserable, but we just haven't seen that. What we've seen from Travis Etienne is actually that he's gaining more of those high-value touches as the season goes on. Tank Bigsby has 2.7 yards per carry to Etienne's 4.2. So, yeah, I think you can attack this game from pretty much all angles. I said I'm a little lower on Evan Ingram this week than you. I think sometimes we just see him disappear a bit. The Colts have allowed a bottom eight catch rate to opposing tight ends, but they've allowed the third most fantasy points to slot receivers. So I think it's Christian Kirk week again. I'll be putting, if you're looking for a cheap stack, you can go Gardner Minshew, Josh Downs with Christian Kirk on the other side and then jam in a load of studs with it. But yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of right ways to attack this game.
Yeah, it feels like a matchup that, as I said, I'm higher than consensus on most of the Jags. I like a couple of the indie players. I feel like this is a matchup you could really get after. I love the points on Etienne. I think he's, you know, coming into the season, we were expecting him to be a really explosive between the 20s back that was going to lose out on some of those high-value touches. He's already getting carries within the five. And to me, that means he's ascended to a different level for fantasy because he is going to get those high-value touches that we weren't expecting. The other player I want to touch on, Josh Downs. He's not produced more than 6 fantasy points in any game with Anthony Richardson playing the majority of snaps under center. But every time Gardner Minshew has played the majority of snaps under center, he's been over 10. So I think we're going to see a stretch of games now with Gardner Minshew under center. It could be, you know, you said DK, 4.1K on DK. That feels like it could be sneaky upside. And certainly Josh Downs for me is in that plug and play flex conversation week in, week out, as long as Gardner Minshew is under center. Few questions in the chat, Tom. Again, keep them coming, guys. We love answering them. Kyren Williams, how do you feel about him rest of center season?
Yeah, and if you're here and asking questions, do us a favor and hit that subscribe button. We know that you're here. We know that a lot of you watching do not hit the subscribe button. Help us out to help you. Kyren Williams, I think it's only going to be a good thing that he's not playing 100% of the snaps at the minute. Like, you know, we're seeing Ronnie Rivers get a few touches, and that's good because I don't think what Kyren Williams was doing was sustainable early on in the season. I think now with cutback, they need to be, they're probably going to be a very pass first offense for the rest of the way because we've got the talent to do that. But yeah, I'd keep starting Kyren Williams week in, week out, unless the matchup looked horrific.
Yeah, I think he's a plug and play high end RB2. He's probably going to be ranked for me between, you know, good matchups 10, bad matchups sort of 16. And that's where he is week in, week out. And I think you can feel comfortable with him as your, you know, as I said, plug and play RB2. Couple of questions here from next guy. So is JT startable?
I mean, this one comes down to your roster, your bye weeks, what it's like. I think he is, but you kind of have to be ready for the range of outcomes. We know what it could look like if Jonathan Taylor suddenly has the kind of weeks that he's capable of. With Anthony Richardson not in the lineup, it means there's probably going to be more running back receptions than it would have been. And that was kind of a big knock for me coming into this season. I didn't think JT could catch as many balls. But now with Minshew there, yeah, he probably can.
Yeah. I think for me, sorry.
No. Well, I was just going to say, I think both Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor are fringe startable players, depending on your roster. But yeah, you just have to be comfortable knowing that you could get a very bad week out of them as well.
Yeah, I think for me, Jonathan Taylor is not in my top 24 running backs this week. I'm more comfortable having Jonathan Taylor on my bench, knowing that there's the chance he could have a 20-point game, rather than plugging him in my lineup like last week and then have 5-6 points. I think I'd rather see it from him, see him get that bigger workload, rather than them just talk about it. And then the next question, Jefferson. So it looks like he's trading away Justin Jefferson, and he's got two options, either AJ Brown and Kyren Williams, or Mike Evans, Kenneth Walker, and Zay Flowers.
Tricky one there. I think I'd probably lean towards the first one because I think AJ Brown is closer to Justin Jefferson in a like for like, and then you're getting Kyren Williams on top of it. Whereas Mike Evans, yes, there's a chance for the Bucs come back down to earth. Zay Flowers is going to be very week to week, and Kenneth Walker, you know, this is a Zach Charbonnet podcast a lot of the time.
Yeah, it feels like it's a choice between Justin Jefferson is your pound coin, AJ Brown 75p, Kyren Williams 25p, or you can get 3 25p's. And for me, I'm going AJ Brown and Kyren Williams here. Right. The next matchup, this feels like this could be incredibly one-sided, Tom. Carolina at Miami. I think Miami are favored by 2 touchdowns this week. Is this going to be such a one-sided boat race that it becomes unusable for fantasy?
I don't think so. I think that the Dolphins, we saw it against the Broncos, even when they try to take the foot off the gas, they just absolutely annihilated the Broncos to the tune of 70 points. I don't think we can expect 70 points from him again, but I think when you look at Raheem Mostert this week, he has to be a chalky player because Jeff Wilson sounds like he's probably not coming off IR just yet. So you're looking at Raheem Mostert and Salvon Ahmed as the two running backs. Mostert can absolutely have a good game there. I think in terms of the Miami side, Tyreek Hill is always going to get his. Jalen Waddle has been a frustrating player. He has, you know, he's got the 1 touchdown so far. He's the wide receiver 40 with 6.5 targets per game. It's a big dip from sort of last year in games with Tua. He had like 7.5, 8 targets or so. So Waddle is probably the only question mark I would have on the Dolphins side of things. On the Panthers side, Adam Thielen, I mean, didn't want to be sat here saying this, but he looks great playing out of the slot. He's been consistently doing well, and at a certain point, you've got to stop fighting it, and he is the wide receiver 11 overall. I'm not a believer in the Miami pass defense. I think that they're a little overrated, and I think Adam Thielen can just get there in volume alone. He's not going to break any tackles. He's not going to escape from anyone. but he is just going to get there in a PPR set, and I wouldn't start him in a standard. And part of the reason that he's so good is because DJ Chark, Jonathan Mingo, they can't separate. They're not doing anything. Hayden Hurst has been miserable, but he plays from the slot about 50% of the time. And Miami have allowed the most fantasy points to tight ends in the slot. So at an absolute desperation play, I'd play Hayden Hurst. But yeah, this one's relatively cut and dry. I think, you know, like you said, 14 points favorites, Miami, it could easily be more than that.
Yeah, it feels like it starts, you know, the obvious Miami players. I think Raheem Mostert is a top eight running back this week. Adam Thielen, look, I talked about it in my Dynasty Rises and Fallers show on Monday. You've got to hold your nose and kind of plug him in. It's disgusting. It feels like it's a purely volume play, and he's adding very little in terms of kind of EPA on top of the receptions that he is bringing in. But the volume is there, and you know, volume is king. So if you're getting kind of perhaps super aggressive, maybe you can go and attack Bryce Young, Adam Thielen as a dart throw, hope that there's some garbage time kind of chasing potential, and put up some points for fantasy. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I won't shy away from this game. I think Tua is a little too expensive for me on DraftKings. I was writing up weekly DFS deep dive for our Discord members this afternoon and looking at the quarterback position. And Tua's 7,600 on a tricky quarterback slate. Second most expensive, as you can see on screen there. But we kind of need Tua to hit 25, 30 points for him to really pay off there. And I'm just not sure he's going to. We've seen multiple games where he's below 20 points because he can get there through efficiency and the running backs can scoop up a lot of the points. And I would struggle to start him. I definitely wouldn't start him in cash. I don't think at that price point you can.
And the sneaky news, Jerry Jeudy supposedly being floated on the trade market. Martin, one of our members asks, do you think the Panthers go after Jerry Jeudy in a trade?
I think it comes back to what the Broncos want for Jerry Jeudy. What the Broncos want for Jerry Jeudy. I mean, we've been hearing this for ages now that he could be traded. But you've kind of got to remember that the Panthers, they gave up a lot of picks to go up and to get Bryce Young this year. They have their own second rounder next year. They have their own third rounder, fourth rounder. Obviously, I don't think it's going to take a first to go and get Jerry Jeudy. But, I mean, they should do. It's the kind of move which would be good for Bryce Young. But I just kind of believe in team building from a different position a lot of the time. I think, you know, if you could trade for someone, then going and trading for an offensive lineman or a good defender would be my instinct. But, yeah, if they can get him for a third round or something like that, then that absolutely would make sense.
Yeah, I think the challenge is that if we're talking price, it doesn't make any sense for the Broncos to accept anything less than a second, because it's his fifth year option next year, but then you can let him walk. And with the way the receiver market works in free agency, you can guarantee he's going to get a big contract. He's going to be able to get a third round comp pick for him. So the asking price is at least a second. And if you're the Panthers, you've already, as you said, they've not got a first. Do they really want to be giving up that second as well? That feels a lot to go all in when they've got holes all over the offensive line and the defense with potential issues.
Yeah, just one last point on it. I think it's always tricky with the comp picks, though, because you look at the Broncos and you look at the Panthers, both of them are going to be teams who have to be active in free agency over the next couple of years. And the moment you have to be active in free agency, you're probably losing comp picks by signing players to decent deals. So, yeah,
the only alternative that I could see the Panthers doing, which is something I heard floated on the PFF podcast, is if they could trade Brian Burns to the Broncos for Jerry Jeudy and a second, or and a pick with Jerry Jeudy. And that way, yeah, you know, Broncos are getting that stud, the end that they can build around. They've just left Gregory go. The Panthers get their number one wide receiver, but then they also get additional draft capital that they can then build around Bryce Young. I think that was a really interesting option and something that I could definitely see happening.
I think given how bad the Panthers have been, accumulating more draft picks to make up for the ones they're missing would be a fantastic idea, however they do it.
Yeah. So quick question from Connor in the chat saying pick two, full PPR, Palmer, London. I presume that's Terry McLaurin, Courtland Sutton, Rashee Rice.
I don't think I'd be starting Palmer. I think that you could see a world where he gets less touches coming out of a bye and they try to get Quentin Johnson more involved. Drake London doesn't feel like a great matchup this week, but maybe I could talk myself into him. I think my instinct would be Terry McLaurin and Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I think Terry McLaurin's a definite. And then it's basically a toss-up between do you want to risk Rashee Rice tonight? I think Rashee Rice is probably the more interesting pick. I think Drake London's probably a bit safer, maybe. I think I'd go Terry McLaurin, Rashee Rice if it were me. Right, if you're here and you're watching, first of all, hit the thumbs up. That costs nothing. Second of all, hit the subscribe. That costs even less. Literally two clicks and you are helping us out massively. The next matchup we're going to talk about, we just mentioned Terry McLaurin. Let's talk about him some more. Washington at Atlanta. This is kind of feels like the matchup of the two quarterbacks that have got a lot to answer for. And be very interesting to see which way this one goes.
Yeah, and I could see it go either way. I mean, the Commanders are favored by effectively a field goal in Atlanta, which isn't very much at all. I think in terms of who you can start, it becomes very difficult because we just talked about Terry McLaurin being an auto start. Well, him and Jahan Dotson have totaled 61 targets out of Sam Howell's 191 passes. That should be way more. So it is a little bit disgusting having to start either of them. I think Terry McLaurin's startable. Curtis Samuel, we've seen him have 18 points in back-to-back games. Logan Thomas, he's been a top 12 tight end in 75% of the games he's played. The Falcons, they're good on the outside. We talked about this last week, about how it was a bad matchup for Nico Collins, and all lucky is his worst game of the season. So Curtis Samuel is probably the one I'd feel the most confident about starting. In terms of on the other side, the Commanders have allowed the third most fantasy points to outside wide receivers. So that's why I kind of think Drake London might have an okay week this week. Pitts, I mean, if you've got enough faith to start Kyle Pitts, then you absolutely have to be ready for the goose egg. But I mean, last week was his third 15 plus point game since the start of last season. So we know that those are the rarity rather than they're going to be the norm. And I don't think Jonnu Smith's just going to disappear.
Look, I can't answer or talk about any Kyle Pitts fantasy production or anything with a straight head on. I feel like I'm so far in the weeds with Kyle Pitts this season that I can't answer it with a straight face. But I think it's a decent matchup for him. Fascinating nugget was that Logan Thomas is leading Washington in their expected fantasy points so far this season, which is absolutely disgusting. I say it every week. Hopefully this Washington offense can start consolidating its targets and we see more from McLaurin and Dotson. And hopefully they can get back to where we hoped they'd be at the beginning of the year. But yeah, it's plug and play Bijan. Hold your nose and start basically anyone else in this matchup, I think, this week. Right. Question. Should I drop Kareem Hunt or Josh Palmer for Jameson Williams, Thomas?
I would drop Kareem Hunt for either of those players. I think that there's more ceiling outcomes for both of them. And I think Kareem Hunt is washed.
I'd drop Kareem Hunt to have the empty roster spot. That is how much I value Kareem Hunt right now. So, yeah, I don't like Jameson Williams, but I'd absolutely drop Kareem Hunt for him. Sutton versus Chiefs or Josh Downs versus the Jags? Where are you leaning there?
That's a very close one to me. I think Sutton, you know, you're talking about two players I'd probably have in like the wide receiver three range, wide receiver four fringe. I really like the matchup for Josh Downs. I think that in a week, Josh Downs is going to be getting ranked higher than he is this week.
Yeah, it's just Josh Downs for me. I think that that's a really interesting matchup. As I said, with Minshew under center, I think he could be eating. New Orleans at Houston. Feels like this has got some sneaky upside despite the low 42.5 over under. Is there anyone that you're particularly targeting this week in this matchup?
You see, I feel like this doesn't have sneaky upside. I feel like the Saints suck the air out of games. But yes, we scored a lot of points last week against the Patriots, but how much of it was the defensive side of things? I think you can start Alvin Kamara. Like, he's the RB7 over the last two games since he came back. Only Travis Etienne and David Montgomery have more running back touches than Kamara's 49 in the last two games. So we've seen enough. Like, Kendry Miller got garbage time last week. The score was out of hand. And yes, he had it one of his best days, but it was massively because it was garbage time. Saints, they've allowed the fourth fewest passing yards, which doesn't spell great things for CJ Stroud. I know we've seen him be excellent at times, but I think what we're seeing in these matchups where he's coming up against really tough defenses, I'm probably not wanting to start him. Damian Pierce has just been downright ugly. Like, I have a running back, a roster in my home league with Damian Pierce and Miles Sanders on, and it's probably the ugliest pairing that you could have. Pierce is dead last in rushing EPA amongst running backs with 25 plus carries. So, yeah, on the Texan side, I mean, Tank Dell likely to miss out with a concussion. So it probably brings Robert Woods into play slightly on DraftKings. If you're looking for a dart throw below that 4K range, he's only 3,800. I don't like it a lot, but I think he's going to see decent volume. And I think that's probably where the Saints are most vulnerable. They're good against tight end. They're good against wide receivers on the boundary. What they're not particularly great against is those slot receivers. So, yeah, in terms of tight ends, Dalton Schultz, Juwan Johnson, I wouldn't start either of them. I think Dalton Schultz is going to have a very difficult matchup, and I think Juwan Johnson is sadly toast.
Yeah, I want to disagree with you on Damian Pierce. I think that there is some real interesting data that's pointing to him regressing and having a good second half of the season. The Texans, the league average, Tom, for passing to rushing touchdown ratio at the moment is 1.59 passing touchdowns to a rushing touchdown. The Texans have scored 8 passing touchdowns to 1 rushing touchdown. They are due massive amounts of regression and start scoring some touchdowns on the ground. I think that there's a real opportunity that Damian Pierce could start producing on the ground and bounce back and be a really interesting asset for the second half of the season.
I mean, I take your point to an extent, but Damian Pierce is 14th in red zone rush attempts. Like, he's had 13 rush attempts. He's only got one touchdown on him. At a certain point, it's like, I just feel like the offensive line isn't gelling. The run game isn't clicking. And yeah, I'm not worried about Devin Singletary. I think he's only getting in there when games are put to bed. But right now, if I've got a better option, I'm starting other players over Damian Pierce every week until I see otherwise.
Yeah, but the issue with the offensive line is that the offensive line has been injured. They've had one starter so far playing every single game this week, this season. They've missed 4/5 of their offensive line through the year. They're starting to get back. Laremy Tunsil's back healthy. I think that there's a huge amount of opportunity. You know, yeah, Damian Pierce has had that many red zone touches, but he's only had 3 carries inside the 5. Like, I feel like there is a real opportunity that this offensive line starts to get back healthy and Damian Pierce is going to start to produce.
Well, it'd be hard for him to produce less than he's been doing.
we'll have to plug this into the follow-on from our Debo debate. Maybe we can have a Damian Pierce watch for the rest of the season. But if you're here, if you want to hear more of Tom and I's disagreements, if you want to hear us chat, if you want to be able to ask us questions 24 hours a day, I might not answer them 24 hours a day, but you can ask them. You can become a YouTube member. Hit that little join button down below. From as little as 99p or $1.25 a month, you can get access to the Discord. Tier 2, Silver Sunset, you get access to all of my Dynasty content, my Dynasty Survival Kit. It's got my calculator, my ranks, everything else. And then if you want to be our best friends, the Golden Deck Chair, you get all of that content I've just mentioned, plus Tom's specialist DFS video every single week, plus his DFS write-ups, and you get access to exclusive DFS and best ball competitions. New England against the Raiders. It is the return of Josh McDaniel. is this the final nail in the Bill Belichick coffin, or are we going to see Bill Belichick get one over his young apprentice?
Yeah, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I seem to remember Bill Belichick has done fairly well against people who've gone out and come back against him. But, you know, this is a tallest dwarf competition. We're talking about two terrible teams. New England are 27th in DVOA on offense. The Raiders are 31st in offensive DVOA. Yeah, it's not only Josh McDaniels' revenge game, it's Jimmy G and Jacoby Myers. I think Jacoby Myers was pretty pissed off that the Patriots went out and signed Juju Smith-Schuster and let him walk and gave him the same contract that the Raiders offered Myers when he left. So I think Myers definitely feels like a player with a point to prove. In terms of rest of the offense, though, I mean, the Patriots are just a mess. Mac Jones is down from 0.6 completions over expected as an average in 2022. He's averaging minus 29.9 this year. Ramondre Stevenson's been bad. You talked about it in your Dynasty Rise and Fallers video this week. It's just been woeful for him. Like, he looks really poor. I think in terms of players I'd start, you can probably start Josh Jacobs. There are signs of life around him. He's still involved heavily. Devontae Adams, he went 8 for 75 last week. And it just feels, because this Raiders team is so bad, that it's only going to be the weeks where he scores touchdowns where he's going to be really good for fantasy, and the games where he doesn't score touchdowns, you're probably still talking 15 points. But that's not really what you paid up for when you drafted Devontae Adams. In terms of this game, it's hard for me to want to do anything with it, because the Patriots are dead last in drive success rate and Raiders are first in drive turnover rate. So it just feels like New England could be turning the ball over from the Raiders constantly, but then unable to go anywhere with it. So, yeah, I'd rather just pay very little attention to this game.
Yeah, this is definitely a game that is going to be on the third screen. I'm probably not going to watch much of it at all, and I'm probably not going to start many fantasy options. I think, yeah, as you said here, the narratives about this game are far more interesting than I think the actual game from fantasy.
Yeah, it's probably worth mentioning that the Patriots are banged up at wide receiver. I think Juju Smith-Schuster, he's concussed and also just not very good. And I think Kendrick Bourne's a bit banged up. So it's a possibility they bring Tyquan Thornton off IR. I didn't even realize Tyquan Thornton was on IR. I just assumed that he was terrible and not even getting any game time. So yeah, that would be interesting to see if he could come back and just give them any kind of spark.
Who knows, it may be a Kayshon Booty week in which he finally gets to be active after his week one where he's on the field constantly and saw no fantasy production. Right, Arizona at the Rams. Now this I'm fascinated by. What are the Cardinals going to do without James Conner under center?
So even James Conner was starting to lose work. We saw it, DiMicardo, he had started to eat into James Conner's passing work. But I think what we saw from DiMicardo is that he is not an every down running back. You know, he had 11 touches last week, 57 total yards. He had a touchdown, which got him up to 12 PPR points total, but it wasn't particularly impressive. Obviously, that was against a tough Niners team. The Rams are not an incredibly tough defense, but they're not a bad defense. They're not as bad as we probably expected them to be. In terms of against the run, they allow 4.2 yards per carry, which is like middle of the pack, really. It's not anything to be overly targeting. So I think DiMicardo mixes in. I think Keontae Ingram mixes in. I believe they have Damian Williams on the practice squad as well. It wouldn't be surprising to see somebody like him mixing in, because I don't think, unless I'm wrong about DiMicardo, I don't think they've got one running back who can take all the work. It feels very easy to just side with the passing game for the Cardinals in this one. You know, Hollywood Brown's had 16-plus PPR points in the last four games. Zach Ertz has played 75% of snaps over the last 2 weeks, whilst Trey McBride hasn't played over 35% of the snaps in those weeks. Like, yeah, we just have to eat an L on the Trey McBride experience and assume that he looks really bad in practice. And what we have kind of heard little bits about is that the Cardinals are very keen on certain guys who they feel like are the right kind of person for their team. And I guess Zach Ertz maybe is just that over Trey McBride, despite the age, despite the fact he can't really particularly run. On the Rams side, I think you can start Kyren Williams. 6,500 feels like a nice price range. I think you can absolutely start Cooper Kupp. You can absolutely start Puka Nacua. Last week, somebody said to me about an hour before the game started, got to start Cooper Kupp this week on DraftKings because he's only going to get more and more expensive. 9K now, it wouldn't be surprising to see him hit 9.4K next week. Like, he saw 12 targets last week and he only turned them into 19.8 PPR points. But it was that one drive. It was the first drive of the game for Matthew Stafford. And Kupp was targeted on 6 of Stafford's pass attempts. There were 10 total pass attempts, and he had 6 of those and turned them into 556 yards. Cooper Kupp is back. Time to embrace it. Time to play him and just make the lineup work around it.
Question for you, Tom. Who would you prefer, Dynasty? Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. Where you go?
I have a lot of Cooper Kupp in Dynasty.
Would you trade any of those shares for Puka Nacua?
Straight up. I don't think I would, because I think when you've got Cooper Kupp on your roster, I think it automatically makes you into a contender. There are very few rosters I've got Cooper Kupp on where I feel like I can't contend this year. So Puka has been incredible, but he's the kind of piece that you should be looking like. If you can get a discount on him now, if you can get him cheaper than he was a few weeks ago, then in rebuilds where I want to take some risks, I'd be willing to do that. But yeah, I mean, I've got every faith in Puka and I've got every faith in Kupp, and I think that that's going to be a good combination for at least another year or two.
Yeah, I think it's still Kupp for me, but I could see if Puka keeps going, that could easily flip. The one player I'm really interested in this week that we didn't mention much, Rondale Moore. We have seen he is lined up in the backfield every single game so far this year, at least once. Could we start to see some more Rondale Moore touches out of the backfield in some interesting scenarios with James Conner on the bench?
Absolutely. And I think, Evan Silver have established a run for a few years now, has talked about how he thinks that running back could actually be Rondale's best position if he was used in a limited role rather than, expecting to go out there and get like 20 touches or whatever. In terms of his price point on DraftKings this week, you're talking about 3,500, which is an absolute freebie. I think he's probably going to get rostered less than 1% across the large tournaments. So I would be very comfortable putting him in as a bring back on Ram stacks if you're looking for a way to get very different. I think, it's at 3,500, it's very easy for a player to pay off like that.
There you go. A couple of questions. First one from Anthony. Needs to start 4 players: Raheem Mostert, Nico Collins, Jordan Addison, Derek Henry, Pollard, and Saquon Barkley. So for me, we'll start with the 2 running backs. Mostert and Pollard are absolute musts. Do you agree?
Yep, absolutely.
And then 2 flex spots. So either Nico Collins, Jordan Addison, Henry, or Saquon. Pick 2. I'd go. I think Saquon's a must if he's healthy.
He got limited practice today.
Yeah, so you expect that he'd play. And then I'd go basically Nico over Derrick Henry. The only caveat being, if I was a massive favourite, I might go Derrick Henry just for the safety.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. I think Derrick Henry can absolutely have a good week, but I think it'd either be Nico or Jordan Addison.
Yeah. And then next question from Peyton. Should I trade Kamara for JT? I have Pollard, Stevenson, Pierce, Rashad White, Javonte Williams, Jerome Ford, and Devon Achane.
I think I'd be looking to trade him for a wide receiver if I was going to go and do it. I think, your running back's pretty stacked. I think it kind of depends on your roster and how you view it. But Alvin Kamara is probably going to slow down over the course of the season, and perhaps Kendre Miller sees more touches, whereas Jonathan Taylor is probably going to ramp up and we're going to see him get more and more touches as the magic wears off on Zach Moss.
Yeah, I think I would do that if that was your only option, but I agree. I don't know how many spots you've got to start, but are you going to be able to start Pollard, Achane when he's back in the playoffs, and JT at the same time? Potentially not. And then have Stevenson, Pierce, White all on your bench. It feels like, as you said, That's begging to go and grab a wide receiver, depending on what the rest of your roster is. Right, Philly at the New York Jets. This feels like we had the squeaky wheel game for Dallas Goedert last week. It feels like it's Devonta Smith's turn, but we know that the Jets are fantastic against wide receivers for fantasy. They are horrendous against tight ends and pass-catching running backs. What Philly players are you attacking in this matchup?
I mean, you've summed it up for me. You know what it's like as a Jets fan. You've seen, you know, you've been banging this drum for a few weeks. The Jets can't cover tight ends. We can't cover pass-catching running backs. And yeah, the Jets lead the league in tight end points allowed. They also lead the league with 5 touchdowns to tight ends through 5 weeks. They struggle against pass-catching running backs. So I think that's the obvious way to play them. Jalen Hurts at 8,200 is the highest priced quarterback on DraftKings this week. And at that price, you really need him to be hitting 30, 35 points to pay off putting that much capital into your quarterback over a player like Justin Fields or Gardner Minshew, who's much cheaper. So, yeah, I mean, with Jalen Hurts, it's always tricky. You never know when he's just going to have one of those games where he doesn't get unleashed because the team just isn't pushed. So far this year, he's had 5 attempts inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, scored 4 touchdowns on them. And that's really helped because as his scoring's gone on this year, he's actually way down compared to last year. Like, he's scoring like 3 points less per game, which makes a difference when you drafted him in the second round. In terms of on the Jets side, there's not many ways to attack this Eagles defense. They're not as good as last year. The passing game particularly, they allowed the second most fantasy points to slot receivers. So, I mean, Rich, you could tell us in a minute who you think would be the best play there. The Breece Hall, I mean, he was incredible last week. You know, he went 25 for 194 and 1 touchdown. And he was unleashed. But the Eagles have allowed the 3rd fewest running back fantasy points so far. I don't think that Breece Hall is necessarily going to be able to attack them in the same way that he was able to attack the Broncos. So, yeah, I mean, is there any of the wide receivers on the Jets side that you'd start?
I think you kind of got to start Garrett Wilson. I think there's, you know, he's a big play waiting to happen every time he touches the ball. In terms of slot receivers, there's no way I'm touching Randall Cobb, and he's the only guy. You know, it sounds like Mecole Hardman's about to get traded. Xavier Gibson started working in on some kind of unique touches, but there's not enough volume there for him to be a play. So, yeah, I think it's Garrett Wilson. I think you've got to start Breece Hall. It's a tough matchup, but I think the guy's an absolute stud, and he's shown that he's a touchdown waiting to happen whenever he gets the ball in his hand. So I think you've kind of got to plug and play in him. And really, if you're attacking this game, it's the Philly side you want to do. I think you just need to be sensible and keep an eye on DJ Reed's practice status, because he's coming back from a concussion. If he's not healthy, Breece Hall played really well last week, but I don't know if he can do it back-to-back weeks. It could be whichever receiver doesn't get Sauce Gardner, which I imagine will be Devonta Smith. It could be that it's his big game and we get that squeaky wheel finally gets the grease. Whilst we're here, we've got some more questions in the chat. There's a few. So Alex is saying, basically, he's picked Devonta Adams over Jakobi Meyers the last couple of weeks, and he's been burned. Should he start Jakobi Meyers over Devonta Adams this week?
I mean, like, this isn't a fun one. I think that I just don't think I could. I mean, it is a Meyers revenge game. I think that he is going to have a good game, but I just don't think I could. I mean,
I don't think you can bench Devonta Adams. I don't know who your other receivers are. Devonta Adams, he's a top 8 option for me. You know, I find it hard to not think that you can't get Devonta Adams into the lineup this week. Bray says, Michael Thomas or Rashee Rice?
Rashee Rice. Michael Thomas has yet to really do anything this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like I'm going to say this every week. The Rashee Rice breakout game is coming. The advanced numbers are phenomenal. As soon as you start seeing the field more, he is going to blow up. And I think you want to try and get ahead of that one.
I think he's the main, like, touching this in the Discord earlier. I think he's the main red zone option for them outside of Travis Kelce right now. I don't think any of the other wide receivers are particularly great like that, apart from possibly Rashi Rice, and the touchdowns will come.
Yeah, absolutely. Next question. Start one out of Hopkins, Thielen, Breece Hall, Jerome Ford, Osborne, McLaurin.
I mean, I definitely don't want to have to say Adam Thielen, but that game is going to bring a lot of passing volume. I think, that's a really tricky one. I'd probably lean towards Adam Thielen. If not, then I'd probably go Breece.
Yeah, I'm just looking through my ranks now. I think it's a Breece versus Thielen debate, definitely. And I think I'd go Thielen. Man, that's who'd have thought we'd have been having these conversations 6 weeks ago? Adam Thielen over guys that were top three round picks. It's absolutely wild. Should I trade David Montgomery for Puka Nacua?
Would you? If I was getting David Montgomery for Puka Nacua and I needed a running back, I would do that. Yeah. If you're on the other side of it, I mean, so much of this comes down to roster construction. If you need a wide receiver, I have no qualms about Puka Nacua for the rest of the season. I think he's going to be fantastic. But I think David Montgomery is going to be a top 10 running back the rest of the way.
I think it's a really good fair trade. I think if you need the running back, you go Montgomery. I think if you need the receiver, you go Puka. So yeah, I think that's a nice fair trade, which we don't see many of those these days. If you're here and, you know, we've just seen these guys, we're answering their questions, we're helping them set lines, we're helping them make trades. Get your questions in. If you're not watching, if you're watching unlive, not live, you can still get your questions in the comments. Tom and I answer 100% of the comments we get on videos. Get them in and you'll still get your questions answered. Detroit at Tampa Bay. We're just talking about David Montgomery, but the biggest news, I don't know if you've seen this, Tom, whilst we've been recording, looks like Sam LaPorta has got a calf injury and is potentially out this week. Does that change anything for you attacking this game?
I think it makes Amon-Ra St. Brown 7.7K on DraftKings an absolute bargain, which I would be jamming in where possible. We saw it with the Lions last week. When you remove one of the pieces, which was Amon-Ra St. Brown, it just condenses to David Montgomery. It condensed to Sam LaPorta. And I'd have every faith in that happening again this week. You look at this Tampa Bay team, they allow 4.9 yards per carry, which is the sixth most among all defenses. I think that's absolutely an area which David Montgomery is going to attack. Jahmyr Gibbs is still not practicing, and Monty's had 55 touches in his last two games. Like, I am not a David Montgomery truther. I've banged the drum against him for years, but when he went to the Lions, it was very obvious that he was going to be very good in this offense doing what he does. In terms of the other players, I mean, it's a wait-and-see approach to see if Jameson Williams ever does anything. Two touches last week for 2 yards. That's not going to get it done. I know people were asking whether he was startable. And I think the questions we answered last week, we kind of pointed people to just wait and see on Jameson Williams. And I'd still be there because I think he has a lot of ground to make up to be fantasy relevant. On the Bucs side of things, yeah, Mike Evans should be healthy. You mentioned it this week, Chris Godwin, 3 screens total when he's used to getting, like 2.5 to 3 a game or something like that. It's so upsetting to see. I thought Chris Godwin was the safer play this year over Mike Evans because they were easier targets, you know. But instead, Baker Mayfield is balling and pushing the ball downfield and doing really well with it. Rashad White is absolutely startable. I think you can play him on DraftKings if you really feel like this game is one you want to attack from all angles because he's going to be so involved in the receiving game. But the Lions only allow 3.1 yards per carry on the ground, which is the second best. Their run defense has been fantastic for about a year now, and it's not one where I'd be actively looking to do it unless you're really just piling onto this game as a massive game stack.
Yeah, I don't think for me this is a matchup that I'm going to be attacking expecting those sort of massive blow-up weeks. I think that Chris Godwin, if Mike Evans is active, he could potentially be out of my top 36 wide receivers, which is wild to think when, you know, he was so reliable week in, week out, but he's just not getting those manufactured touches that we're used to. And I think, yeah, I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. As long as he's full go, I think he could be an absolute beast. If LaPorta is out, I think he's going to be someone that I'm trying to squeeze into every lineup wherever possible because he could be huge. few questions in the chat. Seth just traded Kenneth Walker, and I presume that's Justin Herbert, for Judy, Patrick Mahomes, Adam Thielen. He's got running back depth. I think that's a great move for him. Do you agree?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, and then Z Smitty is in the chat. He says, my squad is 2-3. What moves would you make? He's got Love, Stroud, running back room of Montgomery, Walker, receivers Waddle, Puka, Kittle, Justin Jefferson, Achain, Deontay, Mixon, Taylor, Olave, Ertz, Towns. I mean, that looks like a really good squad to me. Do you think it's just a case of riding things out?
I think I'd possibly be looking to do something at wide receiver. Yes, Deontay Johnson could be back soon. I think at running back now, you've got Jonathan Taylor there, you've got Mixon, you've got Walker, Montgomery. You're getting more out of Montgomery than you expected. Achain will be back at some point. And with Justin Jefferson going down, I'd be just trying to find another wide receiver you can count on a bit more often.
Do you know what I'd do? I think I would go and have a chat with the team that's in first place. Maybe they're 5-0, maybe they're 4-1, maybe they're thinking they can already build for the playoffs and they don't need to worry about the rest of the regular season. Can you get an absolute haul for Justin Jefferson or Devon Achain, maybe even both, and completely turn your team around? Because there is absolutely a scenario that Justin Jefferson doesn't come back this year. There is absolutely a scenario where Achain, the injury is worse than expected. And I just think at 2-3, I don't know if you can afford to have both of those, plus Deontay Johnson, plus Jonathan Taylor, who's not back fully, you know, fully firing, all sitting there on your bench, taking up roster spots. So maybe that's a big swing, but I think maybe you can go and have that chat. Baron saying, got offered Amari Cooper, Goddard, Rashid Shaheed for Kamara, Ertz, Boyd and Jeff Wilson. I like that. I think that's
yeah, I like that. Me. Yeah, I think you've unlocked more ceiling there.
Yeah. Pollard or Pacheco this week?
If that's this week, I'd start Pollard. I mean, it's not been as good as we'd possibly hoped, but I'd still start Pollard.
Yeah, I think, look, Tony Pollard, he's a top five running back week in, week out. He's not producing, but I still think you've got to start him like it. Jerry Jeudy or Jeff Wilson? I think there's potential that Jeff Wilson's not going to play, so I think that's kind of Jeudy. You've got to risk it.
Yeah, same there.
Yeah, all right. And as you know, if you are here and you've not hit the thumbs up, help us out. It takes less than a second for that little click and helps us out massively. Giants at Buffalo. This feels like this could be huge. Another blowout because Daniel Jones might not play. Saquon Barkley might not play. I mean, the Giants' list of injuries is unbelievable. Is there anyone that you particularly like this week in this matchup?
Not particularly on the Giants' side of things. I think, yeah, I think we are going to see Tyrod Taylor. It sounds like, you know, Ian Rappaport today said that Daniel Jones' injury was trending in the wrong direction. So in that situation, I don't think the Bills are going to get pushed in a way we might like them to do. Last week, James Cook had a season low 5 rush attempts. I think you probably get a bounce back, particularly if this is a game script that favors the Bills and the Bills can just take the foot off the gas and actually rush a bit more. That sounds like a good opportunity to get James Cook going again after a really disappointing week. I think before we get to that point, Gabe Davis is absolutely playable. You know, 3 top 20 finishes so far this season. He's what everybody hoped he would be last year, but he had an ankle injury that he was fighting through and he never really got to full speed. I think, you know, otherwise it's pretty cut and dry on this one. I think if you were playing DraftKings Showdown, I'd be looking at captain either Gabe Davis or James Cook or possibly Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think it's you start your Bills players, you sit your Giants unless it's Barkley, and we move on to the next matchup. Dallas at the Chargers. Feels like this is the revenge of Kellen Moore. Are we going to see the Chargers coming off the bye week put up a huge amount of points against this impressive Dallas defense?
It couldn't be more clear like how different the approaches of the two teams have been. Like, you know, we see the Cowboys now, they're just so much less fun than they were last year on offense. But, you know, you look at what the Chargers are doing, they do things creatively, they push the ball deliberately towards their best players at a really high rate. Meanwhile, you've got the Cowboys where CeeDee Lamb has had 1 top 20 finish. we've seen Brandon Cooks and Michael Gallup be very difficult to start in fantasy. I don't think you can start either of them consistently. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I'm always interested in the rookies coming out of a bye week. And Quentin Johnston, do we see him eat into Josh Palmer's workload more? Do we see Austin Eckler healthy? And if so, does it return to what we saw in week one where him and Josh Kelly were splitting work? And does that make Josh Kelly an actually okay play again? But yeah, I mean, you see on screen there, Tony Pollard had 1.1 fantasy points per touch last year in 2022, and it's 0.8 now. He's struggling. He's not playing as well or as efficient as he was last year, which was, there was always a case where he could get some more regression. The Cowboys have been banged up on their offensive line, so it sounds like they're getting healthier, and hopefully that makes a big difference. But I don't think there's anything controversial here in terms of who I would sit or anything. I think, you know, you start your studs, and then if you need to start someone like Josh Palmer, if you need to start a Michael Gallup, I'd be fine with that. Jake Ferguson is kind of like a fringe starter for me still. Then Gerald Everett, I kind of just need to see it before I can start him again.
Yeah, I think the dynasty nugget I'm fascinated by here, we talked about it earlier, Quinton Johnston. Look, it's put up or shut up time for me. I think if he doesn't produce, if he doesn't start running, you know, 70, 80% of snaps, he's probably going to be headlining my my Foolers week, because I think it's, you know, he's had that bye week now, 3-5 games. If he's not producing, I'm seriously concerned, and I'll be looking to sell off all the shares I had. The final question, Tom, of the show. Josh says, rate my 20-man team. Russ, JT, Aaron Jones, Tyree, Christian Kirk, Komet, Josh Downs.
So straight money, Josh. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, ride it all the way to the win, because in a 20-man team, that's, looking very promising.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are here, if you didn't manage to get your question in on the live show, get in the comments. We will still answer 100% of the questions that we get between now and basically forever. That's been the Week 6 preview. Best of luck this week. I hope you all, if you haven't already, check out Tom's DFS content. He's going to help you make some money as we attack this Week 6 slate. And have a good week, and we'll be back soon.